Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ozempic Diaries. I'm Charlene Armstrong, your co-host,
and I'm here with...
No, it's me. I should have cued you.
Okay, fine. No, again. You're good. Carry on going, yeah.
Eighth injection, my last 0.5 milligram dose. 36 clicks. Charlene and I have been taking Ozempic for 8 weeks now. And in this episode, we check in. Charlene gets great progress. I don't. We turn to ChatGPT for answers. We find an interesting aspect of timing with Ozempic, and we get some wise words from Oprah Winfrey.
Hello, and welcome to Ozempic Diaries. I am Charlene, your co-host, and I'm here with my friend...
Jonathan Vanka. Did we get it? I think we got it. Okay.
Oh, good. Okay. So we're on week 7 of our experiment, and today we're going to catch you up on how it's been going, how we've been feeling, what kind of dosage we're still on, and what is coming next week.
And also this week, we're going to be talking about celebrities and Ozempic. Which of the celebs have been open about taking them, and what do they say about the effects? First of all, let's check in, and let's start with Charlene.
I actually almost forgot to inject last night. I don't know why.
Oh, I've done that.
I was just busy. And then eventually I was like, oh gosh, it's Sunday. I think it's also because it was a long weekend. Anyway, so I weighed in this morning and I think I'm another kilogram down. I'm going to give you the number now. It is 79.5. I managed to break the 80 kilogram mark.
Amazing.
Which I'm very grateful for. So in total, 7.4 kilograms down since we started. And yeah, I'm feeling good about it. But I was chatting to Rhett, my husband, on the weekend, and he's worried about me not eating enough. And he was also away in Cape Town this past week, so we weren't having every meal together. So on Friday evening or Saturday evening, he felt like coffee in the late afternoon, and I don't generally drink coffee in the late afternoon, but he bought me a super nice coffee. He was out and he came back and he bought me a really nice cappuccino, and I knew if I had it, I was going to be too full to have dinner. So it's his love language, and he was spoiling me with a nice coffee. And so I drank the coffee. It was delicious and I appreciated it. But when dinner time came and he was like, okay, I'm going to braai, or can I dish you some food? And I was just like, I can't eat. If I eat now, I'm going to feel sick. And that's not great, because I filled myself up with something that wasn't nutritious. And that's not really the norm for me. So I'm mindful of what I drink in the afternoons. And like I try to time when I have my protein shake and stuff like that, because I've come to learn, or I've become used to what fills me up. And I'm trying to make sure that whatever I put in is full of nutrition and enough protein. So it was a bad situation, but I knew if I had food, I was going to feel nauseous, and then I would have to take medication and I'd feel awful the rest of the night. So I said, listen, I'm not going to eat. And I think that just sat with him, because it's so unlike me, like to skip meals or to skip dinner, you know. And he didn't say anything. But then on Sunday, I said to him, you know, I've been feeling cold. But I've also had a bit of a cold again. So I don't know if it's just because I'm feeling under the weather. We haven't had great weather in Joburg. And I kept saying, I feel cold. Is it cold? So he frantically starts Googling, like, what is wrong with this person? And then he's like, it's Ozempic. I'm telling you.
Your metabolism being shutting
cold,
down.
Being cold all the time is a result. It's a side effect from low blood sugar. You need to eat. And so we had this like whole back and forth conversation about it. And I went through every meal that I had throughout the week, and I mapped it out for him. And I said to him, sure, I know when you sit with me, you see me eat half of my wrap, or you see me eat a single slice of toast with scrambled egg on it. Whereas before, I would eat way more than that. But I am eating, and it's just the way it is because of the medication. I'm not feeling unwell. I'm actually feeling great. And now also he's seeing the weight come off. So I think he's just in the back of his mind so worried about my wife's going to be this skinny, gaunt person. And she's older than me. I'm older than him, by the way. So he's just thinking about having this frail old lady that he's going to have to take care of. He's only looking out for my well-being. You know, he always supports me and whatever. But then we had that conversation about, I turned it to him and I said, okay, think about this. You never eat. Like, you can go the entire day without eating. You'll come home at 4, 5 p.m. in the afternoon and you'll be like, oh, I feel like I have a headache. And I'll be like, well, what have you eaten today? And he'll be like, oh boy, I think I had a coffee and maybe a croissant the whole day. So I was like, okay, so can you see how what this medication is doing for me is it's changing me into a person who doesn't obsessively need food and large quantities of it. It's turning me into you. But for you, you're like, this is okay. So if I tell you that I'm not starving myself, I'm having my meals, just trust me in the process. So it was an interesting conversation. And I get where he's coming from. He's just concerned for my well-being. But I also said to him that not that this is a problem, but it's a inverted commas, it's a problem I would rather have, having to be mindful of make sure you eat, make sure you eat. That is a challenge I would happily face every day because it's easier for me to be mindful of, okay, it's time to eat, than to be mindful of constantly, no, I can't have that. I can't have that. And how much of that can I have? It's a much more comfortable place to be in. How about you?
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll give you the results and then we'll chat further about that. So, it has been 1 month and I have lost 1 kilogram, 4 weeks. So I went down 100 grams since last week. So again, plateauing. I'm just like sitting on this plateau and I had a proper, I didn't have a wobble actually because I've become so inured to it now. I totally expected it.
Yeah.
Essentially. But yeah, on Sunday, what I tend to do is that we check in officially on Monday, but I do also check in on Sunday just to see where it's going. And I was actually like up 100 grams and I was just like, what the hell? I did some Googling while some searching around and I asked ChatGPT about it. And it said that there is actually kind of like a well-known thing that a lot of people until about 8 weeks or so, they do plateau. Some people just like don't do anything. And then after 8 weeks, it starts to go. And that might also be because of the increase of the dosage and all that. But I've kind of come to terms with it on two fronts. One, all you can do is carry on. And number two, I'm feeling good and I'm definitely fitting to my clothes better. Scale weight is obviously not the best judgment of these things. Some people will say like, oh, well, maybe you're gaining muscle. Like muscle grows very slowly. Like in the tens of grams per week kind of thing. So I don't think I'm suddenly putting on a kilo of muscle a week to counteract weight. I don't think that's happening. I do think that my body is just fighting it somehow. And I'm going to have to go, I'm going to have to do the thing I didn't want to do, which is track my calories. Because maybe I am letting calories slip in that I shouldn't. And the culprit here would probably be biltong or druivors, which feels like you need the protein, so cool, do it. But sometimes, depending on how fatty it is, it can come with a lot of hidden calories, I think. But yeah, overall, frustrating, but I'm just going to keep going. And today I had my last 0.5 this week. I considered changing it to 0.1 to 1 milligram last night, and I kind of like did the pros and cons back and forth about it. Yeah, because the point of ramping up is to get your body kind of used to the increasing dosages. I'm clearly used to the increasing dosages because I took a 0.5. I feel nothing. Like there's no, I don't feel sick. I don't feel, I have any side effects. We haven't had any ready. So I could definitely have gone up to 1 mil, but decided to just stay the course just to make things less complicated. And yeah, it just seems like best practice. So doing that. But on your point about Rhett, right? So this weekend, I think I had like the first tinges of marital strife about the whole project.
Okay.
Which actually isn't about me eating not enough. It's about the fact that I'm not drinking. And often when we go out, like I have a couple of bites We went to the waterfront food market, which is very nice. And we were with friends and we did a whole tapas thing where we got lots of different kinds of things. And I had like one bite of everything and it was all very delicious, but I knew I didn't need to overeat there. And I famously didn't go to Ramen Head, which is, there's a ramen place at the waterfront, which is fantastically good. And I normally get that, but I know that a ramen is like 1,500 calories. Anyway, so drinks were had. Sally was social and fun and all that. And I was just being the dour, you know, not having anything to drink, not having anything to eat. So it was affecting our social life in that way, you know. And obviously I'm driving, so it's not like I'm going to be like drinking massively or really at all anyway. But yeah, like that was definitely like a thing. Have you been accused of being a stick in the mud? Yeah, yeah. and because also when we went to a friend's house, like I didn't have a drink there either. And that's, you know, or at home even, I'm not doing it. And I feel like she feels like she's having less fun because I'm not partaking.
Yeah, I mean, you're her friend. You're her partner in crime. It's like you do things together. Yeah. You know what I think? I haven't recently been accused, as you say, of being a stick in the mud. But I think my husband's gotten so used to me always trying to flip and lose weight that there's always something I'm cutting back on. And I think that when I first 3 years ago started following, I think I've mentioned it on the show before. So if our listeners have listened to previous episodes or if you're just tuning in, I have followed a really strict eating plan before, and that affected our life more, in my opinion, than what this has. And the reason for that is because I would be apprehensive to go to places or to go to friends if I didn't know exactly what was going to be available to me to eat or drink, or I would have to pack and take my own food because I can't eat because the eating plan is so strict. I can't eat what is there or what's available.
Tupperware is at a party.
And mentally and emotionally, it put such strain on me because we actually discussed this thing in our conversation last night as well. This experiment and this medication has helped me so much to not have that constant noise in my head of if we're at a party, I have to worry about, oh my God, I want that so bad, but I can't even have a taste of it. I can't even have a taste of it, you know? And it just becomes this obsessive noise in my head where this medication has helped just eliminate that. And I can be more relaxed when we are somewhere because I know that whatever I have, even if it isn't the most nutritious food on my plate, I know I will just have a few bites or a small portion and that's enough. Drinking, I have been abstaining from for a long time. So that's not new in our relationship. However, we are going away. Generally, I'll have a drink or two on holiday. If we go on holidays, like in December, I did drink a bit. And that was a new thing because for 3 years, I didn't drink a drop of alcohol. So in December, I had some alcohol and I really regretted it in January because my skin was awful. My body was puffy and I was retaining water and I felt like absolute dog shit. And it was just the juice isn't worth the squeeze for me anymore on alcohol. So next week we're away. We're going to Umhlanga in KZN with my kids and my husband. And we generally have like cocktails by the pool while the kids swim and play and whatever. So, I mean, will I have some cocktails? I don't know. We'll have to see how it agrees with me. My worry is that if I drink drinks next to the pool, then that will fill me up and I won't have – in order to avoid not feeling nauseous or overfull, I will then be like, oh, I cannot have a meal now because I'm going to feel sick. And that is counterproductive. So it's at this point, it's either the food or the alcohol because they fill me up. And I'd rather take the food because that, you know, nourishes your body more than alcohol. But yeah, to answer your question, he hasn't mentioned to me that I'm a stick in the mud, but I can see from how that can happen. This is a new thing and it's quite a drastic change in your life and in the dynamic. But what I can say to you to encourage you is that at least you're not sitting there. I used to mope. I used to be at a party or a thing and I'd be moping, you know, feel so sorry for myself because this is not fun. Yeah. I have to be here and I can't enjoy myself because everyone else is having a nice time and I can't. But at the moment, I can abstain from the unhealthy things or the overeating or the overindulging without feeling mopey.
Yeah. And I think this might be, I don't know, somewhat aligned to what people feel about antidepressants is that they forget to take them because they feel fine. And then, you know, weeks later, they realize why they're so miserable. So I can't detect not needing food. But if I, you know, if I was now suddenly stopped taking Ozempic, probably a week later, I would slowly start to realize, wait a minute, now I'm thinking about food all the time. So the benefit beyond the plateau and the weight loss thing is just that, like, I don't, as you say, I don't have that noise. I don't have that obsession. I'm not sitting in my office going, ooh, I want to go get a snack all the time, you know? So, yeah.
And I think it's also good for our listeners to hear, you know, I just on your point of you've only lost a kilogram in the 4 weeks, that, I mean, I know that it's, I'm sorry that it's not better news. And I'm rooting for you and I know what you're going through. And I
the people in our group who have been saying that they're in the same situation.
So I think it's important I think it actually works out well that I've of late had a better result when we do our check-ins compared to you. But I also think it's important for listeners to hear that it's not always that way, you know?
Totally.
It's not, no two people's journey is the same and to not get disheartened.
Yeah, absolutely. But you are having what I guess I feel like is the ideal experience right now. Like over 8 weeks, you've lost 7.5 kilograms, which is a safe speed. You've been gymming. Mm-hmm. You've been doing the right things nutritionally. So like, I think you've had like an ideal experience here. How are you feeling in clothes? And are you seeing, 8 kilos is a lot. So is it a big difference for you, you know, when you look at yourself in the mirror?
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm finally fitting more comfortably into what I would call my skinny clothes. I mean, I have a range of clothing in my closet. I have my skinny clothes, and then I have my skinny clothes, and then I have my fat clothes. Okay.
Right.
So
getting clothes down here at the skinniest end.
And I was, so I guess my skinny clothes, those are always my goal items. Like if I manage to fit into that pair of jeans, then I am feeling myself, you know?
Right.
But that I will almost say that pair of jeans is not really a realistic clothing item for me because when I fitted into those jeans, it has historically almost been impossible for me to maintain. So I would fit into those jeans when I'm like I'm slimming down for a wedding or for a big event or something. And I'm like super focused and sometimes like almost to the extreme kind of extent. So like if you're a fitness athlete or a bodybuilder, how they would go on their cutting kind of program right before getting competition ready. Not that I follow that kind of diet, but that's what I would equate it to. You know, when you're in, it's crunch time and you're like slimming down kind of thing. So that I don't believe that those jeans are a realistic pair of pair of pants to kind of aim for always fitting into, just because historically I haven't been able to. But never say never. I mean, ideally in my mind, if I could be that size and just stay that size and all my jeans just be that size, then that would be my ultimate goal. But realistically, yeah. I think also just to put that into perspective maybe for our female listeners, and body types are different, but for me, how I would explain it is, size 10, if I were to wear a size 10 pants, then I feel good. I feel comfortable. But if I could consistently be a size 8, that would be a dream come true. And I think the last time I was a size 8, I was maybe 15 years old.
Okay.
So can you see how unrealistic that expectation is, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad it's tempered, yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely am. I'm fitting into my I'm more comfortable. I'm getting closer to my size 10. I can fit in my size 10, but they are still a little bit tight. What I'm very happy about is that I've moved out of my fat clothes. Now, I was, when I started this, my fat clothes were becoming too tight. And I was like, we can't go this way again.
So for reference, what size are your fat clothes? If in the 10 scale.
So I would say size 16, between a size 16 and a size 14 pants.
Okay, that makes no
sense.
So that's,
a 38.
In manland, we use centimeters and inches. Like for me, like 36 centimeters jeans would make, that would be like a goal. Whereas right now I'm like a 40 probably.
Okay. So yeah, size 16 or 18 pants is a 38 to 40 size pants in women's clothing. Yeah. So that's where I was. And I'm now hovering closer to size 36. If I could be size 36 to between 32 and 36, I'll be very happy.
Right. For men too, 32 seems to be the, like, not overweight at all number, right? So you have 5 weeks to go, and your original goal was 10 kilos, and you are now 2 kilos away from that. You basically,
that's actually insane.
So we'll see how that goes.
I think also you're going up to 1 milligram now this coming week.
Next week.
Right?
Next week. This is my last week on 0.5. So what is happening here? Let's get into Ozempic Johnsplained and find out. If it helps anyone, I'll quote what ChatGPT told me after I said about the plateau. I said, I've been on a prescription for Ozempic for 7 weeks. I've gone from 98 kilograms to 93.7. This was yesterday, and now it's 93.5. And it feels really frustratingly slow. I've been so good. I've had 3 alcoholic drinks since the beginning of 2025. I'm gymming 3 days a week and going for daily walks. I'm eating no sweets, fast food, or sugary snacks. What should I do? And then it told me that I'm doing a lot right. It said 4.3 kilograms down is about 0.6 kilograms per week, which is actually a solid rate of weight loss, especially considering this. One, Ozempic works gradually. The initial weeks are more about appetite regulation than aggressive fat loss. Most people start seeing more noticeable fat loss around weeks 8 to 12. You're already active and eating clean. You may be gaining lean muscle. Water retention and hormonal fluctuations can play tricks on the scale. Then it suggested that I should track my body measurements, take photos weekly. I should review my portion sizes and calorie intake, so track calories, increase protein intake, which I think I'm doing okay on, but I should track to find out. Consider bumping gym sessions to 4 to 5 days. No. Add in zone 2 cardio, incline treadmill walking or slow cycling. I went for a run on the beach twice this weekend, so I'm working. I mean, in other good news, I went for 2 runs this weekend on the beach, and it was enjoyable. Like, it was quite cool. I did 15 minutes and 15 minutes, but you know. So then I said, tell me about weight loss starting after 8 weeks. And it said, many people on Ozempic report that noticeable weight loss really starts to kick in after weeks 8 to 12. And that's backed by both anecdotal experience and clinical research. Here's what's going on. Dose titration period delays full effect. The first 4 to 8 weeks are often spent ramping up slowly from a low dose like 0.25 to a higher therapeutic doses like 0.5 or 1 milligram and up. Lower doses are mainly for tolerability and easing into the side effects. They do curb appetite, but they may not dramatically reduce calorie intake yet. Once you hit your maintenance dose, the appetite suppressing and metabolic effects start working at full force, which usually translates to lower calorie consumption, less food noise, increased fat loss over time. So that's very interesting. And I look forward to week 9 and a 1 milligram dose and hopefully an accelerated rate of fat loss. And we'll see how it goes. I'm not giving up hope. In fact, I'm cautiously optimistic and I still believe I can hit my 10 kilogram goal if I give it horns over this last month. And we're back. Unfortunately, I couldn't nail down that interview this week. So what I would like to leave you with instead is a little bit of
extra perspective on what Charlene talks a lot about, which is food noise. And she sent me a clip quite a long time ago from Oprah talking about this topic. And Oprah has been an outspoken advocate of Ozempic and has talked about how she uses it as a tool, and she's done with shaming herself for pretty much everything. So here's the clip.
All these years, I thought that thin people, those people were just had more willpower. Mm. They ate better foods. They were able to stick to it longer. They never had a potato chip. And then I realized the very first time I took the GLP-1 that, oh, they're not even thinking That's about
right.
it.
That's right.
They're only eating when they're hungry That's and right. they're stopping when they're full.
That's right.
And that for me was pretty mind-blowing, that people who don't have a weight problem just don't think about food. They're not stronger than we are. They're just not bothered. They're just continuing with their lives. And when they get hungry, they eat. And when they're full, they stop. They don't constantly think about it. Maybe give yourself a little bit of a break about your perceived lack of willpower and other people's perception of your lack of willpower.